Good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay, let's bow for a word of prayer before we start the sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your most precious word. We ask that your Holy Spirit be with us, guide us, teach us, so that we can learn through the testimony, the growth of Moses, and be able to identify your mission in our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to ask a simple question. How many of you have a life mission? A mission in life? You know what the Lord is asked of you to do? Raise your hand. Okay. Wow. It's like maybe five hands. See, the thing is, I think the problem these days is not only we don't have a life mission, we don't even know what we are doing here. Like, we just, like, mundane routine work. You know, go home, I mean, go to work, and then go back home. And then we go to church, and then go home, and that's it. See, the thing is, the problem is, more particularly, the problem is of the young people. You know, they just lay flat. Tong Peng is a Cantonese. So which means they just do know nothing. See the thing? I think this may be okay for a non-believer. But how about for a Christian? See, it's my conviction and belief that God has a plan, a mission for every single one of us. But unfortunately, very few of us know what our mission is, okay? Or much less to do it. So today, I would like to share with you from the story of Moses. Okay, these are just a few verses. 4 points I want to share with you. The first is the growth of Moses. You just read the passage. Did you notice that there seems to be some emphasis on how Moses was brought up? All right. And then the next point I have is growth in mission. My thesis today is if there's no spiritual growth, there will be no mission. So, like, a mission is a result, a matter of spiritual growth. And that happened to Moses. And that should happen to all of us. Now, and then we know that Moses struck down an Egyptian, right? And then he was utterly rejected. Now, the thing is, mission not recognized. Have any of you experienced that? So God gave you a burden to do something. But at the end, you ended in much frustration. Okay? And then my question is that 40 years waste? You think that is complete waste of time? I don't think so. So I have two more sermons to share with you in the next 2 months. And see, this is the first sermon. I want to share with you the divine call to Moses, the growth of Moses, and then how God called Moses in chapter 3. And then the last point is to challenge you. Like, first question is an exegetical question. Was Moses ready? And then the second question, are you ready? Okay, so let's start with the scripture. Oops, wrong direction. Okay. So we already read this. Okay, let me read it again. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Do you notice that there are two words that repeatedly appear in this passage? All right. So first is child. Second is nurse. Now I need to explain the child. See, it's very interesting that the child is consistently used in this passage. But the thing is, like, the Hebrew term child, yelet, it has a huge range from 0 to 30 years old. Okay, some of you are still child, okay? So this is the Hebrew concept. So which means this particular word is used so that it can cover a broad range of Moses' growth. Okay, from a little toddler, okay, to a full-grown adult, right? Now, the next term is to nurse. Nurse means to suckle, right? So typically, it's like 2 years old. You suck milk until you're 2 years old. Now, the thing is, what are we to do with this emphasis? I think this emphasis wants us to focus on how Moses grow from a baby to a man, from with no vision to a mission in life to deliver Israel. And I did a chart. So, and then when we read verse 10 and verse 11, I discovered that growth has appeared two times. And there seems to be a parallel in these few verses. So verse 10, if we continue to read, when the child grew older, and this is the same, exact same Hebrew, one day, 11, verse 11, when Moses had grown up, right? Because of the context, the English has to accommodate what the Hebrew is saying. So it repeated twice. Why the text is telling? Actually, we don't need the author to tell us that Moses is growing. Of course, Moses is growing, right? Now, the immediate statement after the grow, it says, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, so Moses, part of the Moses grow is he was brought to, and then verse 11, it says, he went out to his people. There's a change in locale. He went to a different place, a different environment, a different situation. And I my thesis is this is part of the growth. When you need to go out, right? When you change, so how many of you have moved from one city to another when you were small? Actually, that is the time of your growth, right? Because you experience new culture, new setting. Okay. And then he became her son. Okay, so she got he's got a new identity. Now, and then verse 11, and he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. I'll explain this later. And then on verse 10, she named him Moses and gave us an explanation because she said, I drew him out of water. That means what? Deliverance, right? To save. So we look at verse 12. This is what exactly Moses is doing. He was saving a what? A Hebrew from the hand of an Egyptian. So this says he looked this way and that, and seeing no one, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Okay, so that seems to be some parallel. Okay, so the two-time growth, the first is from palace to the second growth is, the first is to go in the palace, and then verse 11 to go out of the palace to see his people. Okay, and then the second is son is what? A princely status. He acquired his status. Okay, and then what he sees is his people status of slave. Okay, from a princely status, he's seeing people outside of his scope slave. And then name is identity. Okay, he was given an identity. Okay, and he was safe, and then he tried to save others. Now I have a question for you. How old do you think Moses was when he went to the palace? My guess, of course, there's no answer in scripture. My guess is under 12 years old, because 12 is the age of adulthood, right? So it's child. For our understanding. Now the thing is, it's very interesting that like he has no name until he went into the palace. Is that true? Or did Moses' mom gave him another name? But we have no record of that. Okay, to give you some ancient Near East background, see, it's very similar to our Chinese old days. See, the thing is, like in the olden Chinese culture, they don't give a name to a baby until the baby is 2-3 years old. Know why? Because they are fearful that the baby may not survive, right? In the ancient situation, baby may not survive, so they will delay it until the baby is strong enough, then give the baby the name. Okay, so Moses got his name, which may not be too young. Okay, now the thing is, my thesis is there are three stages of growth in Moses from these few verses. Okay, so that's this starting point. His growth start. So whom was Moses with before he was brought to the palace? His mom, right? So his mom was his spiritual and moral teacher, right? So these foundation years means these are the most important years, formation years. That's how Moses gathered his values. Okay, so has his mother has the greatest contribution. So he was trained by his mother. Then the second stage is he went to the palace, Pharaoh's daughter. So he became an adopted son, right? So he has an adopted mother. Now, his second stage of training is formal royal training. We all know that Egyptian wisdom is great stuff, right? They are very, like, their knowledge, everything is very good. So this is Moses' second stage of training. Oh, sorry, I haven't got to this one yet. Okay, and then the third stage is when he was out of the palace. Out of the palace is when he was, like, I maintain that when he was graduated. Okay, so of his own initiative. Okay, so there may be some time, okay, well, he was 40 years old, Acts told us that, when he went out to see his brothers. So he was in the palace like 20-some years, maybe like 30 years, okay, he was in the palace. Now, this growth is very important. There's one Bible character. I will call him that this character has a perfect growth. Okay, so this is my spiritual growth theology, and this person is Samuel, okay? Because like Samuel, the scripture has three times repeatedly mentioned that he grow. The only character in the Old Testament, okay? So, early years, okay? 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 21, and the boy Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord. We all know that Hannah is a godly woman, right? So brought up by a godly woman, okay, Samuel grew in the presence of the Lord, divine presence. God was with him, okay? That then the second verse I have is verse 26. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor of the Lord, and also with men. So, like Jesus, right? Jesus what? Grow and then what? Favor of God and man. The only two, like Old Testament is the only character which we have this description. Okay, so what do I make of it? This is like intellectual and spiritual growth in the likeness of God. So this is how Samuel grew into a godly person. So growth is very important if one were to have a mission in life. And then the third passage, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his word fall to the ground. So what does that mean? He became a servant of God, to be used by God. So this is like a perfect process that we see. You know, do you know that there are only seven characters in Scripture that mentioned that person grew, okay, in Old Testament and New Testament added together, okay. So now, and then, back to Exodus, verse 11. And then one day, when Moses had grown up, he went out. We already read that. He went out to his people. What was the interpretation of this? My interpretation of this is his identification. He identified himself as what? As Hebrew, not as Egyptian. Don't you think that this is easier or difficult? So why, how on earth can Moses identify himself with the Hebrews? His first stage of growth, right? First, it's not only the first stage of growth. He was not impacted by his second stage of growth. You understand? See, like some kids, when you send them abroad to U.S., completely different culture. You know, he has lost his Chinese basis, right? Because what? The world has won him over. You know, Egyptian luxurious life had not won Moses over. He was keeping his first original training. So this is something. Okay, and let's see what how Stephen interpreted Moses' growth. And Moses was instructed in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds when he was 40 years old. So this is the only passage that tells us that Moses was 40 when he went out. It came into his heart to visit his brother, the children of Israel. See, the thing is, if you compare these two verses, my take is Stephen replaced this Moses has grown up. That's what we have in Exodus. He replaced it with what? Verse 22 and then first half of verse 23. So what does that mean? Oh, this is Stephen's interpretation of Moses' growth. All New Testament authors realize that the significance of growth. Oh, if that's the case, we should look at it. So, which means that Stephen told us that, okay, he has grown in what? There are three aspects of growth. In knowledge, okay, after his formation of his value system, he learned the knowledge, which is the wisdom. And then there's some change in Moses. He became mighty in his words and deeds. This is transformation. Okay, so with his original training, like godly spiritual values, added the secular training, and he was transformed to become what? Mighty in both action and words. And then third, okay, to visit his brother. How do I interpret it? Independent thinking. He was not submerged to the culture. Okay, he can see today. I think this is very important. Very few of us today can think independently. Okay, we cover with the media. Okay, what we our values come from the media, not from scripture, not from what the Lord has to say. Okay, so next, growth in mission. Okay, vision and responsibility. So the key feature of growth here is a very good, and then he went out to his people and looked on their burdens, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his people. It is of utmost importance to see what we can see. Have you played the game? Okay, same picture, right? Finding some hidden thing. There are certain things that some people can see, but not everyone can see, or some very few people can actually see the real thing. Okay, so I gather two most important features of growth. Okay, first is to went out. I already said, like, independent thinking. So he see if he doesn't have this independent thinking, he will stay in his palace. Why bother going out? You know, just enjoy life, right? And then the second is perspective. Perspective is the most important thing. Okay, seeing the real world is only outside palace. That is very important, okay? Now, the thing is, I want to explain the word beating. Beating is a participle, which means what? Recurring action. See, the thing is, Moses should find no surprise, because this is part of the culture. Okay, beating a slave, or even beating a slave to death, it's nothing surprising. You understand what I'm saying? This happened every day. Okay, why should Moses be surprised or even take any action out of it? Right? Now, the thing is, so, which means we are actually unexpected to see Moses seeing that a Hebrew slave was beaten, or only because Moses identified himself as a Hebrew. So like you beating my own people, right? So, but if he were to identify himself as an Egyptian, he would not see this. So my thesis is Moses was seeing with his heart, not with his eyes. See, today, to see God's kingdom is not by visual vision, it's by our heart. What the state of your heart determines what you see. Don't you agree? This is the state. What's the situation of your heart? How your heart is. It's a reflection of what you're seeing. So Moses seeing this injustice is what? It's because Moses' heart is most just. See, else you say, okay, well, this is common everyday routine. Okay, so the thing is, if you were to see the world, how many of you see injustice in the world? You understand what I'm saying? You're seeing injustice of this world because you're seeing it with your heart, with scripture, with God's passion. Else you just see the dollar sign. You understand what I'm saying? What personal gain you have. All your choices, all your life, everything is based on this. So mission, personal mission, comes from what? Comes from what you see, the scope. You understand what I'm saying? How are you seeing the world? Okay, and then you can see, it's only that, then you can see what God has laid upon your heart to do. I'll give you an example, like Zian Fok has many short-term mission, right? I've seen young people, because when they went to the first world, third world, you understand what I'm saying? Seeing the poor, this is eye-opening experience. Also, I have one student, he came to our classes. Well, he ended up going to Japan to become a missionary. Why? Because he has been to Japan the first time, seeing that there's no Christian. You understand? Seeing the need for gospel, and then because of that, he went again, and again. And then what? He became a missionary. You understand? This is how you get your mission in life. See, if there's no spiritual world, that will not happen. Okay. Now, okay, let's look at how Hebrew. Oops. Okay. Hebrew gives us a slightly different picture of growth. Okay. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, see the thing, the book of Hebrews repeated this growth. This is the key word in this Moses passage. Oh, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Oh, this is also about status identification. So the author of Hebrew interpret Moses' action as also he has denied. This is even stronger. Okay, he denied his status as Pharaoh's son. Choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. So here I gather 3 points. Okay, first, standing firm in identity of God. See, the thing is, like a godly family, if you can raise your kids in a godly family, you send them out, okay, to study. Okay, it's a test whether he can stand firm with U.S., Europe, everywhere, Western culture, promiscuity, drugs, all kinds of temptation. See, things Moses, okay, can stand firm because he refused to be called. So that means the world failed to rob Moses of his identity. You understand what I'm saying? See, Christian, I always lament for second generation Christians. You understand what I'm saying? We are losing to the world. I mean, little kids go to Sunday school. Once they get to high school, you get like maybe 30, 50%, and then another 50%, and then you go out to work another 50%. No wonder, like maybe 10, 12% left. Okay, this is very pathetic to me. Okay, so the application is like many of us will forget our humble origin. Okay, when their wealth, and even Christian. Okay, so our identity is of utmost importance. Let me give you some examples. See, the thing is, if you have two identities, okay, which identity you choose, okay, tells a lot about yourself. This may not be a very good example. I know many pastors who's got a DMin, Doctor of Ministry. Okay, and then they request people to call him Dr. So-and-so. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, refuse to be called a pastor. You understand what I'm saying? Have you seen that? You have not seen that? Okay, bless you. Then they're pastor. Like, see that when there are two identities. See, very interesting. See, I got my PhD before I was ordained. So I was preaching yesterday in the church that like a DTS grad I know from Dallas time. So when she introduced me, she said, like, but I never said that to her. She said, I prefer people to call me pastor than doctor. I never tell her explicitly. See, the thing is, how you identify yourself. You understand what I'm saying? When you have two identities. So and especially when these two identities are in conflict. It's what? It's a matter of your value. It's a matter of your heart. Okay, where your heart is. Okay, second, choose suffering. Who would like to choose suffering? Raise your hand. No hands. None of us would like to choose suffering. Why? So what? How I interpret this? Embrace mission. You know, when God have a mission for us in the heart, regardless how difficult it is. You understand what I'm saying? See, this is how, when can you choose suffering? When you fully embrace God's mission. You understand? You will hold on to it unto death. This is what the scriptures, this is not knowledge. This is transformation. Transformation. Okay, so not until then, you have a mission in life. And then you know exactly what God has called you to do. Okay, this is from what? From seeing, from exposure. Came out, he went out of his comfort zone and to visit his brother, widening his scope. Okay, so this leads to my third point, deny himself. See, this is a must, and take up the cross. Right, in our New Testament. So this is part of your daily living. Okay, so which means that without spiritual growth, it's impossible. Okay, here it's like leaving your comfort zone. You know, leaving your comfort zone is actually holiness. You know how holiness is defined? Separation to be used by God. And this is what all mission is about. Okay, so pull yourself out from the world. So Moses' name is very good. He was pulled out from what? From the water. Okay, and he was trying to deliver Israel. Okay, it's the same idea. Okay, so the thing is, find out your responsibility, your role God has for you in his kingdom. And when you have that, you have a mission in life. Okay, now, this is the difficult part. Moses, the murderer. How do we interpret this? Did Moses overreacted? He soon have struck down the Egyptian. That ruined his life. No, that didn't ruin his life. He ruined God's plan on him. No. Let me explain. Well, this is my reading of this passage. He looked this and this way and that, and see no one. He struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. Okay, so which means that looking this way and that way, that means he's not out of emotion. You understand what I'm saying? He's not an angry man that he can't control him. You see, oh, this is injustice. Bang, hit the guy and killed him. No, this is premeditated. Okay, so this is clear from scripture. Okay, struck down. Okay, it's the same root as beating. Same Hebrew root, nakah. The key is, beating is a perishable. This principle is very important. He saw an Egyptian beating. Now the question is, was it the first time Moses ever went out of his palace and then saw this one single incident and then he killed the Egyptian? The answer is no. Almost guaranteed no. He has been going out because his heart was with his people. So he had been going out. See, because this parable means that this has been going on. So my guess is that, see, it's the Egyptian that Moses killed the first time he beat a Hebrew slave? Of course not. You understand what he's in the habit of beating. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, now the thing is, if we look at Acts, okay, the beating, my guess, is brutal. So Moses intervened. Had Moses not intervened, okay, the Hebrew would have been beaten to death. That's my interpretation. Okay, and then and with probably with no legal implication. Okay, so this is like Moses' response. Now then, the thing is, now even with that, was Moses wrong by taking matters into his own hands? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so we have to look at this. Now, Acts 7:24. Okay, Stephen's interpretation, very helpful. When he saw one of them being hurt unfairly. Okay, so the beating was wrong. Okay, we all know that. Okay, Moses came to his defense. Okay, so Moses was trying to help this Hebrew. Now, the next verse is the key. And avenge the person. You know how this word avenge is used, both in Old Testament and New Testament? Okay, avenge is like vengeance is the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? Avenge is to retaliate. Okay, so by this verse, we can almost certain that this Egyptian, you know, has been beaten some or many Hebrews to death in the past. You understand what I'm saying? So that's why Scripture has nothing to say again that Moses was not a murderer. He was exercising justice, okay, outside the legal system. But the thing is, the beating was outside the legal system anyway. Okay, this was against the law. Okay, so there was nothing wrong with Moses beating the Egyptian to death. Okay, so the thing is, so back to the mission, Moses' growth. See, this is Moses' spiritual growth and vision that led him, okay, to his behavior and his mindset. Okay, when he's seeing this injustice. Now, the real problem is that when he went out the next day, why did he go out again the next day? Should he not be hiding, fearful of being discovered? Of course not. Okay, he has been going out. Well, I'm not sure every day, but maybe every other day. He has been going out. See, now the thing is, well, of course, Scripture has no answer. Okay, my answer is that this is divine orchestration. Okay, had he not gone out the next day, he would not have discovered that he was discovered. You understand why? He needs to flee. This is part of God's plan. Okay, God would have him flee. And then the thing is, it's not just next day, he saw two Hebrews fighting each other. You understand what I'm saying? This is all part of God's plan from a theological reading. Okay, so behold, two Hebrews were struggling. Struggling means physical fight. Okay, together. Okay, and then verse 13. And he said to the man in the wrong. The man in the wrong in Hebrew is the wicked one. Oh, this translation is, it needs to be a lot stronger. So and at the end we see from his speech, that's wickedness. Okay? Now the thing is, why do you strike your companion? Oh, this is of utmost importance. If you know how to read narrative, your narrative is to be read the character's first statement in Scripture is most important. Okay, go home and find out what is Sarah's first statement in Genesis. So Moses' first statement was what? Why? Okay, Do you strike your companion? This is out of what? Out of justice. You understand what I'm saying? So in Moses, this is of his primary character. See, that's why the first, this is called characterization. Okay, so Moses is out of his righteousness that he made this statement. Okay, and then it was replied by, who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you mean to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And then Moses was afraid, and then Sue think this was found out. Okay, so the shared features okay, of the 2 days. Confrontation of wrong. You understand what I'm saying? He did it repeatedly. So the story tells us that Moses did 2 things in 2 days. Same reason. Justice, righteousness. Okay? So this is Moses' internal righteousness. This is of the highest quality, in my opinion, of God's servant. Okay? See, to be used greatly by God, internal righteousness is of utmost importance. The second feature is, it's not just you seeing something wrong and you have strong feeling about it. Action. You rectify the wrong. Boldness. Okay? So willing to take up the injustice case and do something about it. Okay, and then see Moses. See, I'm reading this like two most important qualities. Application today. See, the thing is today, like we have wars, everything going on. How we see the world. Okay, what is the truth? Does our political stand affect what we see? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, are our perspective distorted? Okay, so Moses was rejected. Now, is that ironic? He tried to help, and then he was rejected. Now, the thing is, my thesis is, Moses was ready, but the people was not ready. Okay, so which means that Moses had to wait. Now, the thing is, does it mean that 40 years wasted? No, definitely not. The thing is, Moses, okay, I think this is divine intent to have Moses this setback. Setback in our first passion to do something for God is actually good for us. I don't know if you agree. But if you had setback before, don't give up. Okay? But just means that you need more training. Okay? And God has his own timing. Rather than forget your passion, okay, pick up your first passion, first heart to do for God. And for those who have never had any mission, okay, growth in God's word, and find out what God's mission had for you. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through Moses, through his growth, we learn that we must grow in your word in order that we will know what mission, what life mission you have for us, so that we can pursue with our life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.